I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, Texas rural hospitals are on life support and their prognosis isn't good, especially if the planned cuts to Medicaid, Medicare, and support for the Affordable Care Act are enacted. Consequences ripple far beyond healthcare. They threaten the survival of the entire communities. And then later on The Source, Texas is staring at the face of a water scarcity crisis. We face longer droughts, stronger floods, and an ever-growing population. The state's aging water systems are showing their limits. Proposition 4 on the November 4th ballot seeks to confront that challenge head-on by creating the largest state investment in water infrastructure in the state's history, a proposed $20 billion over the next two decades. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Tired of spending so much time and money on vehicle maintenance and repairs? Make this October Cartover when you donate a car, truck, or RV to TPR. Visit tpr.careasy.org or call 877-486-1227 to get started.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Across Texas, dozens of rural hospitals are fighting to keep their doors open. These small-town facilities are often the only source of emergency care, maternity services, and local jobs for miles around. But financial pressures from rising costs, low patient volumes, low reimbursements, and the state's high rate of uninsured residents have pushed many to the brink. More than half of Texas rural hospitals have cut services, and several have already shut down completely. Now, as temporary federal funds have dried up, federal state leaders are debating whether new federal bailout money or policy changes could stop the bleeding and keep these vital services available. What's really at stake when a rural hospital closes, and is there a sustainable solution? We're joined by Terry Scoggin with the Texas Organization of Rural and Community Hospitals, TORCH, to tell us more. Terry, welcome to The Source.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to tell the rural story.
Yeah, well, tell me the rural story. Why is this happening?
Well, let me tell you about rural real quick, just so you understand Texas. And I'm going to tell you, Texas leads the nation in rural healthcare in a lot of different angles, good and bad, but more on the good side. So there's 254 counties in Texas. 201 counties are considered rural. So 80% of Texas is rural, but only 11% of the population is rural, so about 3.5 million. Now, that 3.5 million is bigger than 21 states that are out there. So there's 156 rural hospitals in Texas. 139 counties have those hospitals, and 17 counties have two. But, you know, 156 minus 201, you know, just around 50 counties don't have hospitals. So Texas is a huge rural area, and there's a lot of challenges. It's an older population. This is a radio broadcast, but if you can see me, unfortunately, I look like rural Texas, and I'm from rural. I live in rural East Texas. I live in Mount Pleasant. I live by the border, the northern border, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Louisiana. And we have challenges just like that. So rural Texas is sick. You know, we're an older population, but at every age angle, whether it be kids, nursery age, births, through teenagers in college, we're below the national average and the state average when it comes to health. I mean, my kids, I have three boys, and my kids live in Travis County, Williamson County, and Dallas. I live in Titus. I'm going to live 5 to 10 years shorter than my kids because I choose to live in rural Texas. And that's what we're fighting for. So rural's different, but rural's personal because I live in a community where I go to church, I go to Walmart, I go to the football game on Friday night with the same people that I see in the healthcare system. So it's a personal, and that's true across all those 156 rural hospitals across Texas. Now let's talk about the real issues.
Well, let me just hold on right there as you were talking about rural. And I just also want to add in that rural is essential to Texas.
80% of Texas is rural.
But just for the Texas economy,
100%.
For Texas, where the food comes from, energy comes from.
Trailers, all your, I live next to Prefert Manufacturing, one of the largest producers of ranch equipment in the world. I mean, your intro was perfect. And you did a great job explaining the criticality and what happens when one of those closures happens in a rural community. We also, unfortunately, lead the United States in 25 rural hospital closures. And when that happens, your intro stated it perfectly. You lose good paying jobs. You lose eventually physicians. You have to have John Henderson, who I'm filling in for at Torx. I'm an interim for a few more days while John's working on something we're going to talk about today. But, you know, you need good schools, good churches, and good hospitals for a Texas economy to thrive. And you lose one of those, and it's hard. So some of these 25 hospitals that closed down, those communities have struggled because you lose the economic engine of those communities, exactly what you said.
And so the concern is that if these hospitals continue to close, it'll destabilize rural Texas. That has a ripple effect, and it does impact everyone throughout the state, even if you aren't in these areas.
100%. You've nailed it, and that's exactly right. It affects 80% of Texas is covered in the economics that comes from there, whether it be West Texas, South Texas, East Texas. We need our rural hospitals to close. Now, the crazy thing is, you know, the majority of Texas is rural. A majority of legislative, the higher percentage is urban legislators. So people have a struggle with making policy and those things to impact rural. And we've got a lot of challenges coming. And I think, but I also want to talk about, we have a lot of positive things coming today. I've been in this role for 60 days. John Henderson is, and I think he's been on your show before. Mm-hmm. John is the CEO of Torx, and he took a leave of absence to go work on the big, beautiful bill, or as the cool people call it, OB3. And it is the national bill that's coming from the federal government. And he's working with Texas and HHC and the governor's office to really make sure Texas has the best application possible. And we will. We have some of the best rural minds in Texas working on this. And I think Texas is going to come to the top and lead when it comes from national rural transformation. I think there's some good things happening. But I've had the opportunity to drive around for the last 60 days and visit hospitals. And it's tough. You know, there's not been a week I've been here in the last 7 weeks until last week that a rural hospital wasn't calling with concerns of meeting payroll. There's a lot of concerns. And a lot of those problems are caused by the things you mentioned. Uninsurance rate is higher in Texas. You know, I look at you're in the San Antonio area or District 19 from a Senate standpoint or a legislative. You know, there's 6 rural hospitals, but there's 12 counties that are rural in District 19. 9% of the population is rural, but 12 of the 14 counties are rural. The uninsured rate in those rural communities is 20.1%. The 2 urban counties is 15%. The rural average is 17. So you can see even your area down the San Antonio area, that uninsured rate is much higher than it is in other areas. And the poverty rate is much higher in that area as well. Like 19.5 is the poverty rate for Senate 19's rural area compared to the urban area of 14.2. So a lot of challenges in these rural areas about insurance and poverty. But I've seen it firsthand. Rural hospitals are in trouble. And I'll be clear. At the same time, I think there's a lot of positives happening where the Texas legislature, the governor's office, HHSC, they understand this. They understand the importance. And I'm seeing over the last legislative in 23 and in 25, we've seen more things targeted rural communities that are going to be for the positive going forward. So I'm excited about that. One of the things is HB 18 that was passed this year. It's going to be 25 to 50 million over the next 2 years, focused on rural stabilization, trying to help rural hospitals, infrastructure. You know, providing that. I was surprised the last few weeks of how many rural hospitals have rented generators that are in their parking lot because they can't afford to buy new generators. Sewage system. You know, one of the things I've noticed is this is just not rural healthcare anymore. It's rural communities. Several of the communities I were in had problems with water. And I think the next episode you're going to talk about today is water.
Yeah.
It's not just rural hospitals. It's these rural communities that don't have the infrastructure that affects, you know, whether it be electricity, whether it be water or sewage. I've learned and have come to appreciate in the last few weeks, just it's much more than rural hospitals. It's rural communities that need to be looked at as well. So okay. Just throw that out there for your next conversation.
All right, so we're going to take a break. I got a caller, Raphael. I'm going to get you on the air. Our phone lines are open, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Policy decisions are being made, trying to keep Texas rural hospitals open, but at the same time, support for patients, the people that need that care, are they going to be able to access that care? And other questions about where we're going on this. You can call in. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. In the next half hour, we're going to be talking about Proposition 4. Texans are now voting in early voting for the November 4th election, whether or not to create a $20 billion fund to support Texas water infrastructure. But right now we're talking about Texas rural hospitals, and many of them are on life support. They need help. There are a number of reasons why this is happening. Rising cost. They have aging infrastructure. They have low patient volumes, low reimbursement for federal support. Also, high numbers of uninsured residents. We know how to fix this. It can be done. It's all about policy decisions, policy choices. So we're talking with Terry Scoggin with the Texas Organization of Rural and Community Hospitals, TORCH. Let's go to Raphael on the phones. And Raphael, you're on the air.
Okay, so one thing that I have to say is I believe that hospitals should not be for profit. It should be for the people. And as far as I understand, we pay for it because a lot of people, they go to the hospitals and then they don't pay for it. And we basically live on subsidized healthcare. And we live in a country where we pay more for healthcare than anybody else. And then it's just like, it just does not make any sense. Like, why, if we're the richest country in the world, that's what we want to call ourselves, why can we not provide adequate health care for all of our citizens?
All right, Raphael, thank you for that question. So, Terry Scoggin, if we had expanded Medicaid in Texas, like so many other states had done, would be looking at a different picture for rural hospitals in the state?
It's tough to say. And we've done that analysis over the year. And I've been a CEO and CFO for the last 13 years in rural communities. And it's high uninsurance rates like the San Antonio area. It's tough to say. I don't think, and I believe that expanded Medicaid was not the silver bullet. And right now with OB3 coming out, a lot of that expanded Medicaid is going to be pulled back. So Texas actually, I think at the end of the day, is going to end up in a better place because Texas is going to not see the impact of the Medicaid cuts at the federal level that are going to happen. And Texas will be in a place to use some of those things from there. Now, he talks, Raphael made a great point about for-profits and not-for-profits. You know, in the rural hospitals, there's about 91 independent and about, so you're about 91 independent or 98 independent and 58 for-profit or part of large health systems. So that's one of the things, we talk about 25 closures, but we also have seen a lot of those hospital systems join larger health systems because they've had to. It's negotiating with the payer contracts and those insurance companies has been very difficult. And I think there's opportunities for Texas to get better at that. And we can talk about those things. But I think one of the things Raphael points out, because I'm a CPA by background, so I'm going to throw numbers at you because I love data. But I've also studied, graduated A&M, but then studied at Texas in the last few years on, you know, health equity. And I think one of the things we talk about healthcare, it's not emergency healthcare that we need to focus on. It's population health. And I think there's some things that we can do in these rural communities, primary care and focusing on so many of the social determinants of health or non-medical drivers. 80% of your healthcare is not a hospital. A lot of that stuff is transportation, job, poverty rate, insurance, food, transportation. I think that's how, when Raphael talks about the U.S., I think that's some of the things we've got to focus on better. And I think there are quite a few things coming down the road. And I think OB3 is going to offer some opportunities for Texas to invest. You know, it's $50 billion, $25 billion split evenly across the United States, and $25 billion based on your state's application. I think Texas has put some state money up and now is going to have an opportunity to get some federal money. And I think using that federal money for infrastructure and then transformation of healthcare, focusing on what Rafael talked about, how can you transform healthcare in these rural communities? And it's really going to be community-based medicine. And so that's, it's a challenge, and he's right. And I've studied that. There's a lot of things we can learn from other countries who have a lot less money than us.
So you keep saying OB3. That's the big, beautiful bill?
Big, beautiful bill. The cool people call it OB3, but it's the big, beautiful bill. And part of the big, now there's some large cuts that are coming on the big, beautiful deal. But since Texas did not expand Medicaid, those large cuts won't have as big of an impact on Texas. There'll be impacts, of course. But I think Texas is going to come out neutral in this. And some of the money that's going to be done for rural transformation, I think Texas is in a good place. HHSC has been traveling around Texas the last few weeks. I went to Lufkin. I had a hearing last week. And they're going to get this money to the rural communities. And like I said, there's 201 counties that are considered rural. And the definition of rural by Texas is a county with 68,750 or less. That's how Texas kind of defines it.
So the big, beautiful bill has this fund that's supposed to prop up rural hospitals, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and so my question is, though, I mean, if you support the rural hospitals, but then you don't provide, you're cutting support for the Affordable Care Act, more people use the Affordable Care Act in rural areas than in the urban areas. Also, if you're also, making cuts to Medicaid, Medicare, it's harder for people to access the hospital, even if it's staying open, if you're cutting that.
Well, I mean, and that's why I think these investments have to be in community health. And you're going to be cutting some of the cuts that are going to happen, as you talk about, from the marketplace, and that's where Texas is going to see some of the impact is the credits that are given for the insurance and the Affordable Care Act. Some of those, you'll see a 2-3% increase in uninsurance. You're going to see that. That's things that's concerned about that. But that's not a given fact that it's going to happen yet. And I think we are working at the federal level, as many states are still are, just trying to fight those cuts to the credits that were given for the marketplace. Marketplace credits is what it's called.
Right. That's what the government shutdown is all about, trying to keep from happening. But also, real quick, the government shutdown is happening, Senator John Cornyn said that rural health care telehealth is shut down. Is that true?
Well, as far as there's not just rural, but just telehealth in general. So Medicare, who approved telehealth, paying for telehealth coverage and telehealth visits, Medicare is not paying for them right now. So in some, based on what your hospital is from a classification standpoint, you're not getting reimbursed for those visits anymore. So there are some things that were in the shutdown separate than the big, beautiful bill, but those shutdowns have impacted some hospital at home, which are a few rural hospitals. It's affected some of the telehealth that's not being reimbursed at the same value right now. So, and we're being instructed by CMS to hold those claims with the expectation is when it comes back online, they'll be retro back on those. So we're waiting to see how that is. But that is impacting us right now.
So is that interrupting care?
Yes, it is. Because that care in some communities based on transportation, they can't get to the hospital or can't get the physician office. Now, a lot of your hospitals are still performing it because they need to make sure those people are getting the coverage they need and keep them out of emergency rooms. Because that's where you don't want to do primary care. You don't want an emergency room.
Let me get a caller. I'm kind of backed up here on calls. Let me go to George. Go ahead. Hey, George, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, years ago, Congress passed a law which said that if a person was qualified, but couldn't afford to go to medical school, and they offered to practice 5 years in a rural community or underserved community, they would get a free medical care. But now they substituted that practical bill for the usual student loan bill, and now if a person wants to go to medical school, he becomes an indentured servant for 20 years. Now,
okay, George, I'm short on time, so I think we got your point. So, Terry Scoggins, does that happen? You know, people who want to go to medical school can't afford it. They say they'll work in a rural hospital for a while. Does that still happen?
If you work for a not-for-profit in a rural, like for some of our not-for-profits and public hospitals, yes, you can get a forgiveness over 10 years that you're there. And you get counted for your residency program if it's in a not-for-profit. So there are some incentives there. And I think what you're going to see in the Texas application for OB3, Big Beautiful Bill, you're going to see a focus on workforce. And that's one of the things to go after, is to more for rural residency programs and then forgiveness of some of those for people who are choosing to work in rural communities. You're going to see that.
All right, let's go to Claiborne on the phones. Claiborne, you're on the air.
I just wanted to say Texas is a beautiful state. Been running around since we moved here, love ending up in these small towns. It's like, oh, great place. Looks like a nice place to live. What do these people do for work? I mean, this is systems and macroeconomics. I mean, at microeconomic level, if there's no real work, if everybody's working at McDonald's or the gas station, it falls apart.
All right. Well, there's a lot of work. I mean, these are people that they grow food. They do energy. They run hunting leases. There are all sorts of things that are happening in rural Texas. They grow cotton, the things that we depend on. Can I get your response to that, Terry?
Well, I think you said great. Manufacturing, you have agricultural. In the communities I live, you have chicken processing plant. There's 26. Unemployment's low in where community I live. 2,600 people work at the local processing plant for chicken. So there's agriculture, there's manufacturing. Welding is a great profession. I have hundreds and hundreds of my son's friends who are welders and do great from a living, and we sell those things across the world. The problem is insurance is, if you're above the poverty rate, it's hard to get insurance. And some of those smaller companies, which is very prevalent, insurance is unaffordable. So that's the problem that you brought up that we have to address, and we got to keep working. And I think the solution is, you know, we have to work with our local employers, and rural hospitals have to be creative and come up with ways to provide that insurance, maybe at a negotiated rate or a lower rate. It helps with cost, but there's ways to do it. And I think that's what you'll find in rural communities, is we are creative. I like to call it, I'm duct tape and tire wire. That's what I am. There's a solution. We just got to pull up our boots and get to work. And I think there's an opportunity here. And I'm excited about what Texas is doing from a standpoint of supporting rural hospitals.
And so what's your number one policy change that you want to see happen in order to stabilize these rural healthcare facilities?
Well, I would love to see some take the monies and focus on infrastructure. It's hard to raise monies in either a gala or a foundation for sewage systems and air conditioning units, no. So focusing on that infrastructure, we can't focus on innovation and survival unless we have the basic needs of X-ray, CTs, water, air, gas, and those types of things.
Government low to no cost loans for these things?
Well, I think you're going to see in OB3 some investments, and I think Texas just approved $50 million in investments that are going to help in the rural communities. I think the solution is we have to work together, whether it be working in some co-ops. Those 91 independent rural hospitals have to find ways to work together because they can't individually survive. There's ways to reduce the cost of healthcare in those areas if we support some clinical integrated networks and some other opportunities for those rural hospitals come together to work together to provide healthcare. And with AI and tele and those types of things, now we're lacking broadband in rural communities. So that will be a big one for us, but Texas is working on that. So I think Texas is pushing the right direction, but these independent rural hospitals, we got to work together. And that's what Torch does. It works with all the for-profit and for the independent hospitals to work together to try and keep these areas going.
But some people are saying that, you know, this rural is under attack, that many policies are hurting rural America. You know, the tariffs, it's really hard to farm. It's really hard it's just difficult to find markets now. It's just hard for rural America, and they seem to be an afterthought in public policy.
And I can't argue that. You've nailed it. I mean, because public policy is done by legislatures, and legislatures are usually done by population. So when you look
when you look at rural Texas, you know, 80% vote for Republicans. They really call the shots in Texas politics, but there is no real clarified rural policy platform.
Well, I would say over the last 2 years, I've seen a change. In the last two legislatures, they've addressed rural hospitals. The biggest issue we have is we don't get reimbursed the same as the urban communities, and we get reimbursed by cost. Texas has taken a huge step in 2023 and in 25 to ensure that rural hospitals are getting costs for Medicaid services and that they're being treated. So I really believe over the last two legislative cycles, you've seen an investment by the legislature, Republican and Democrat, everybody voting to invest money to make sure the rural hospitals are being protected. Now, we still have a long way to go. I sat in a meeting yesterday with the Quality Improvement Health Network, focuses on policy. All the major universities were at the table. Dish was at the table.
So there is a path forward, but I think organization, clarifying the message, showing the need and how this is something that benefits the entire state, necessary. Terry Coggin, Texas Organization of Rural and Community Hospitals, thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, thanks for letting us tell the story of Rural. We appreciate it.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.